Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Panic on the streets of the United States. The UK is bombing Syria. And my name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. It is December the 3rd, 2015. Make sure to join us live every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Pacific at www.ucy.tv/TAMR. And you can always catch our replays on YouTube by searching for Anti-Media Radio. We are joined in the studio tonight, as always, with our producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Mr. Gibson. How are you?
Can't complain. And we are also joined with Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, Dan. Doing great, Mr. Gibson. Now, Mr. Madden.
We, so far in 2015, have seen 1,093 Americans killed by police officers. We've had 116 officers who have died in the line of duty. There have been 152 beheadings by the government of Saudi Arabia so far since January 1st, 2015, and in the city of Chicago, 2,764 people have been shot, 466 homicides. Let's jump right into what's going on right now. Kevin, what's your thoughts on everything that's going on in San Bernardino right now?
Change seems to, part of the media changes, as we can expect it to, back and forth, the narrative, depending on which side you're looking at. But it seems like more and more that we hear, apparently this guy's kind of, that he was, in fact, at least to some degree, if you believe what some of the press is claiming now, that he was apparently communicating with people that the FBI claims that they were actually investigating. So, I don't know, you can look at it from a bunch of different ways. First we had the narrative they were white guys. Now we hear they're actually, a couple of them are actually, now it's two suspects, not two people dead, it's not three. So the
they keep focusing on just two people. They say there were three shooters.
The local police department in San Bernardino, from what I understand, has just come out and confirmed that now that there are two, so they say. But, it's kind of surprising. It seems like with all the things we saw on TV that they pretty much pinned down that there were three different shooters there for a long time. But you get that a lot of times with different narratives.
And that's what we were joking yesterday kind of about it, saying, they were talking about three shooters, and all the eyewitnesses were saying that. And we were just waiting for Anderson Cooper to get up there and be like, okay, there's one shooter and this is the deal. And
right.
It's the same.
Lay down the official story.
Yeah.
There's been talk of a third shooter, and nobody has brought up Geraldo Rivera at any point in time during that conversation. I would like to know where Geraldo was during that period of time, to be quite frank.
I think he was looking for Jimmy Hoffa's grave.
Yeah.
So, do you think this is going to be used? Obviously, they're already talking about guns now. Is this going to be used as a war against terror, or is these going to be terrorists? Are they going to be disgruntled employees?
This is a trifecta as far as what the government can use this event for. I mean, this is, you know, one very small step away, you know, in the narrative from, you know, 9/11, even though the body count was a lot higher.
But,
and again, all this talk of, that's that country, that one country that we're friends with over there.
Is it Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia. Yeah, the shooter, Saeed Farouk, apparently visited Saudi Arabia, what was it, a year prior?
Yeah, last year.
And again, we have, as Kevin just pointed out, reports that he was communicating with some people that were on a list somewhere.
To some degree.
To some degree.
And that could even be, you know, who knows? That could be
he watching. He came back with his wife, though, when he went to Saudi Arabia.
And a baby, according to coworkers.
And then, you know, this is the first time we've seen.
And they have a child, too. That's the
really a shooting like this.
About this.
Yeah, where the a wife or something like that's involved.
We can all agree on one thing, is this will be an attack on civil liberties in the United States.
From a bunch of different angles.
Yes.
State and local, federal.
And California, again, has very strict gun laws, correct?
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Let's extend California to the rest of the country.
That has strict gun laws would have a situation happen like this, showing you exactly that strict gun laws do nobody no good.
That's it.
Well, the Senate, there's some people complaining now. I'll say some people. A friend of mine in particular was, posted an article that was shattered by another article, of course, as usually happens. They were basically in an echo chamber explaining that how the wrong the Senate was for slapping down a new bill in the wake of all this, the claims they were actually going to try to ban, you know, and of course it's a big oversimplification, but keep all people that were even suspected of being in a terrorist network and influence. And that's the initial way it's written. Who knows, the way that it will be, you know, it would be hashed out would be different, but the Senate just slapped it down, fortunately. And of course, the headline now is only that the storyline is that now the GOP and the Republicans have slapped down a bill to keep terrorists from buying guns. So it's already starting to work to push, as Rahm Emanuel said, you know, take advantage of any crisis, never let it go to waste. So.
And speaking of Rahm Emanuel, we always mention the statistics in Chicago because of their gun laws.
And you guys are one of the few, man.
466 homicides so far. I mean, are they gonna hit 500? It looks that way.
Yeah. There's plenty of time.
That's
2,764 people shot.
That's a large body count.
And it's gun laws. Gun laws.
They got no way to defend themselves.
The Detroit's police captain, of course, Detroit's not Chicago, but has come out and actually advocated more guns in the hands of citizens. And if I'm not mistaken, I've heard rumbles through of Chicago law enforcement. Of course, they have ridiculous gun control laws, but yet, you know, you still see the conflict where their own head higher brass are advocating that guns in the hands of citizenry would keep gun crime down, but yet we see the laws that they actually lobby for and the legislature passes.
That's it. And would we have seen anything different in California yesterday with any of these laws federally mandated, whatever?
No, I mean, what could have been done? The you know, they already had, you know, like you've already said, that California has long been known to be the most gun control field and have the really strong gun control laws and ever changing. They're still trying to advance that too, and yet it did no good whatsoever.
Yeah, and we're talking about like the amount of weapons that they had too. I mean,
with ammunition. I mean, they were ready for all out war.
And then they supposedly had the pipe bomb on them yesterday at the convention hall, plus everything they had in back at their home.
And the scary part was is when they got the shootout with police, they pretty much had the controller, the little remote controller, pretty much in their lap. And all of this, what, I can't remember how many hundreds of rounds of ammunition. It was like 1,200.
Yeah, 200.
Yeah, they said they had pipe bombs is what they said they had. bunch of pipe bombs.
So they claim, but you know, yeah. Still, we got to remember that in the wake of all this stuff happening, you're going to have different numbers and different figures. So, you know, and
that's
they,
the
they
thing.
Give out different numbers.
That's it. Right. That specifically right. is. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and take a call right now. Area code 951. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just calling with, sorry, wrong number.
Are we getting a pizza or something?
Must have been. Somebody can order me a pizza.
I want a pizza, yeah. Man, pizza sounds good right now.
So, I think another thing that's kind of been overlooked is if this guy, Saeed Farouk, was radicalized or, you know, how did that happen? Supposedly, they're kind of saying he met his wife online. Are they going to come after internet rights?
They've already been trying to demonize the tool
right.
on the dark web, so I wouldn't be surprised.
So they've got where they can come after the internet right now, come after your guns, and go to war.
Well, it's war on all fronts against the public.
That's it. It truly is.
I am going to come out and say something that I'm not going to mention any names or, but I have actually recently met with somebody with the Department of Homeland Security, and that person did mention a lot that people can become radicalized just in the matter of minutes of being on the internet, which is insanity. I've never heard anything like that, but there are people within the government that really believe that.
Do you really think they believe that within minutes?
And
our 14-year-old daughters are running over to Syria.
Saying. This is someone that I've met, and they really, I don't know what it is, but they believe that people can become radicalized on the internet within minutes.
Radicalized to you and me may very well mean something different to, you know, when they look at it, it could be the one thing they saw that flipped a switch when a lot of this stuff has been built, even like this situation.
Who's right going out and seeing a 3-minute video on YouTube and going and picking up a rocket launcher? They go from playing
thought,
with
but
My Little Ponies to, you know, to picking up a rock. Give me a break. That's not happening. That's not happening.
To be
anywhere.
Fair,
no, but it's probably the same line. I don't for one bit think that agents are not at least advocating that and are hearing.
Oh,
that
I believe
that. And to fall in line.
Oh, I guarantee you the propaganda. That's what the propaganda is.
Well, to be fair, I have watched a 3-minute video of John Lennon and tried to pick up a guitar.
Yeah, but picking up that guitar is not going to result in you getting your head blown.
No, I usually have to put it back down. I mean, it's John Lennon. Come on.
Before it gets to that point where somebody gets mad enough to pull a gun out and tell you to stop.
That could happen in my neighborhood, trust me.
And we've got the shootout yesterday, the mysterious third person.
Cigarette Man, X-Files, that guy.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. What's your take about, does this feel completely genuine to both of y'all? Does this feel like straight up? This is exactly what the media is telling us. Or is it like something else?
And that never, never, ever do I hear anything and take it for face value anymore. Because first off, as Kevin just pointed out, we have so many different numbers and figures. And, you know, we were here and there could have been a third shooter, but now it's two shooters. And they're both dead, so don't worry about that. Just forget about that third shooter thing. And, you know, then we hear all of these, you know, this number and that number, this statistic and that statistic. You know, the most important thing here is that 35 people were shot, 14 have been killed, 21 of them injured. And if I remember correctly, I think I saw a figure that stated that 10 or more may have been actually a serious life-threatening injury. So that the body count or the death toll could rise.
And it probably will, and it'll probably change from what from source to source too. So that won't be a surprise. You know, it's kind of eerily reminiscent of what we saw at Sandy Hook. But I remembered a real particular interview with one of the people there that, and even a news report was actually following for some time, a guy in camouflage that was running
in the woods, out, yeah.
And he actually told people when he was arrested, they interviewed a guy who claimed that all this guy did was walk by and said, "Hey, I didn't do it. I didn't do it." But, you know, it's real. It's always real weird. And, you know, I don't think anybody at this point would be right to question. You know, but then again, the media, I don't want to give them too much credit, but I'd be curious. I didn't really get to follow as much when it first happened. Is where was there, you know, there's so much different screenshots that I saw, but were there, did we ever see three people in one screenshot or one video? That's kind of what I would be curious to know, because it seems like with all the footage, the couple screenshots that we did see that we might, if we went back and looked for, could find three different people. And then I would really be skeptical of where the two...
It is very interesting, too, and that this has been pointed out on social media throughout the day, that apparently the mainstream media is hesitant, particularly on the left side of the fence, has been hesitant to call these two individuals terrorists. And there has
Which
been,
is odd.
There has been a lot of hesitation. Of course, there have been some people pointed out when they were originally... by some networks, reported as three white shooters. And now we find out that that's incorrect, that they're of
Middle Eastern
descent, and they are Muslim. But we're not hearing about terrorists.
And that's You're very, not.
That's very
I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and go to another caller right now. Area code 785, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Allison, Topeka, Kansas.
Allison, what's on your mind?
Just kind of wanted to listen to see what everyone else had to say.
So what's your take on the whole San Bernardino shooting that's going on right now?
I don't know. I kind of think it's all planned for some reason. I don't know.
Seems like we're having a bit difficulty hearing you. See if you can fix your connection and give us a call back. So, yeah, another thing that's going on huge right now, and we'll come back to the San Bernardino stuff here in a second, but the UK voted yesterday to start bombing Syria, and just within a few hours, started bombing them. It's funny how slow the government is about everything, but when it comes to bombing somebody, yep.
Well, now
they're ready to go. Yeah, just
yeah,
like that.
Fair,
same thing.
It is a little better than what we did when we went back to Iraq when Junior went to finish daddy's dirty work. I think we gave him like a month heads up before we went over there. Now we're coming to get you. And
that's it.
About a month later, you've got some tanks and planes just slowly just cruising in.
And there's a lot of people that are really, a lot of people in the UK that are really in an uproar.
Oh, yeah, they had huge protests.
Oh, right. And, you know, I watched a bit this morning where they called for David Cameron to apologize. Apparently, you know, everybody that's voting against this has now been branded a terrorist sympathizer. We're not talking about just the citizenry. Well, we're talking about the other members of UK's parliament.
Well, they've been doing that with Jeremy Corbyn for a while.
Oh, right. Of course, well, he's also a... according to some, a Marxist, and so I would expect that from even some of the, what we would typically view as the right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to the message that I would like to deliver to our listeners in the UK, or our listeners who have friends and family in the UK, is this, sometimes you're David Cameron, sometimes you're the pig.
Pig.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
you know how quickly
it
went away, though? That seems to have disappeared from the...
look, that's never going to disappear from my mind.
One of the greatest things ever.
Yeah, that
every time ever. I see an image of David Cameron, I see a pig.
I mean, speaking of George W. Bush, a lot of people gave him a lot of flack for a lot of things. He was a very stupid guy, but come on, man.
Mission accomplished.
He did not put his member anywhere near a pig that we know.
That we know.
Except on the farm.
Dick Cheney, that.
We hadn't had a president that's done that since at least Bill Clinton.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Bill Clinton didn't put his back or anything.
Yeah.
But, but the thing with, you know, Britain and Cameron's, they're just piling on over there. This is one thing that's different about, you know, you talking about Iraq and the whole thing. There's just another country bombing them.
And even the Iraqis, you know, you brought this up last Tuesday, I believe, is that Iraq is asking some of the other countries to come and participate and trying to wipe out ISIS. But Iraqis, by and large, apparently do not support, don't believe, don't trust what the Western governments, what their motives are in this bombing. You know, that we, they tell us, or we in the Western media, or the Western listeners here, that the UK and the US is going to be bombing ISIS. When they actually hear, hey, the US is going to be bombing our country, it's not just ISIS. You know, ISIS would be the guys to move. Can our government sending letters warning people to flee, like such as the case of the oil tankers, it's no casualties instead of ISIS, which obviously has, you know,
where do you think them terrorists are coming from? It's not people who are actually terrorists. I mean, there might be, but look, we've talked about this dozens of times on this program. It's blowback. It's blowback. They're creating terrorists intentionally. They know what they're doing.
If they knew, I'm sure some of them probably know, it's probably see it more as a consequence, but really do not care.
No, I don't think that they care in the least.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking about, too, look at all the stuff that's going on in Turkey right now. And Russia implicating them, they've implicated Saudi Arabia a little bit, and that ties everything back to the shooting here in California. How everything's intertwined and works together.
I saw a post earlier, guys, Michael Heiss, his actress online, was saying, you know, that with all this information comes out and these guys, if they do come out and in fact they're linked to ISIS, that every single person in the administration should be held culpable and should be at least charged with treason. I know it's a little hyperbolic, but that they should at least bear a lot of responsibility for influencing the rise of these groups to turn around and pander to whoever they do.
But, you know, we both know that will never, ever, ever happen. What's going to end up taking place over here is we're just going to end up back over there, full steam ahead. What was it we said on Tuesday with the Shiites said they're going to turn around and attack the United States if we put troops back on the ground in Iraq? So we're going to have a war from, and they're Iranian back. So we're going to have a war from that angle. We're going to have a war with ISIS supposedly in the middle of everything. The intention's obviously to take Assad out, so we're going to have conflicting with him, and then we have Saudi Arabia over there just hanging out, supposedly funding everything from the West.
In the background, then we've got the immigration situation. You know, people kind of that's taking a little bit of a back seat, at least here, to some of the discussion about the shooting and whatnot. But you know, that's what's driving a lot of the immigration issue. So only more bombing and destroying that area is only going to see further more people flood other countries. And see
how does no one get that? It's common sense.
Yeah.
When you're bombing a country, people are going to leave that country.
Right, exactly.
They've got to go somewhere. And percentage-wise, there's not that many even trying to come to the United States at all.
No. And you got to keep in mind, especially given the overall amount of people that are actually coming.
And the people that have left, the over.
And you know, comparing that to the other countries in the region that have taken in refugees, I mean,
in the million.
What America has pledged to take in before everybody has gotten in an uproar, our state's governor included, Robert Bentley, screw him. Somebody needs to ask him about his secretary slash love. Yeah.
Has he not gotten kicked out of office yet?
Siegelman did. Remember
him? Oh, yeah, he's in prison right now.
Hey, you know, it's funny, he was actually my sparring partner in kickboxing school.
Oh, wow.
Scotty met him at City Stages.
He's a tough cookie for an old man.
Yeah.
He needed to be.
I like Don. Don was a good guy.
I like it when a politician ends up in prison, so.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah. If you're a politician in Alabama, chances are.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
There's a high chance that it's going to. Oh, most of them deserve it, but did they actually go?
Right.
Yeah.
Larry, most of them ended up running for president.
Larry Lankford deserved it, and he's there. Anyway, Larry's what? He's serving how many years did they give him? 20?
Yeah. 20, poor Larry screwed.
Went in there with both middle fingers up.
Although, a lot of the people that took bribes with him, Mary Buckaloo, and some of your other people that were involved with a lot of the bonds scheming, you know, they went and have already gotten out. And were just, I won't say it's guilt, they weren't Larry Langford's, but they had just as much involved with the sewer.
The city's so much nicer now, though.
It is.
There's actually stuff here.
Yeah, you got to blame it on Larry, too. That's awesome.
I know. Sort of. Look, we're getting off here, but
yeah, you've been to Vision Land lately.
At least when he stole from the city, he gave back a little bit.
Yeah. The Larry giveth and the Larry taketh.
Put Vision Land in best.
That's living the dream right there.
All right, so I'm going to completely veer off topic from
what I'm sorry, I got to say this one thing. That my most favorite Larry Langford quote ever. I don't wear no cheap shit from JCPenney.
I'm serious.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he
said. Yeah.
Told to a Birmingham News reporter. Awesome. Oh, I love him. When he was county commissioner.
Oh, when he was commissioner?
Oh yeah.
That is when both middle fingers were truly up in the air. For those of you who don't know, we're talking about the former mayor of Birmingham, who is now sitting
Google
in prison.
Sometime this guy was
Larry Langford. Quite interesting story if you ever get the chance to read about some corrupt politicians, and definitely look up Birmingham and Alabama politics. But Saudi Arabia supposedly preparing to execute 52 people all at once.
And not even taking in any refugees.
Oh, yeah, they've taken in zero refugees. Right. They funded all this mess. But, yeah, and some of these were arrested as juveniles. One of them for writing the love poem. Protesters. Like, this is crazy.
They're obviously trying to trying to set an example. You know, 2 years ago, they granted clemency to a bunch of guys. If they would go to Syria, they actually trained them and pardoned them. Even some hardcore, by Saudi Arabia standards, anyways, killers, and gave them permission, you know, and told them, hey, we'll let you out. You commend your death sentence. Mm-hmm. Go to Syria and fight. And yeah, they won't take any refugees, as much culpability as they have in this whole situation. But I made this point the other day and I still think it holds true, that we backdoor, the American citizenry may have a strong tie to Israel, but the American politic, it's having a much growing tie to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, absolutely. And we see it day in and day out. We had the story recently about one of the Saudi princes apparently was caught red-handed raping somebody, and immediately without any kind of...
No harm, no foul.
That's not even the icing on the cake.
Yeah, that's just one small...
The biggest red flag of the year is the Saudi prince getting caught with all of the, you know, a kind of an odd, strange drug. It's not even an amphetamine. It's a specific drug that just so happens to be the drug most used and most loved by members of ISIS in the Islamic State. And I cannot tell you what the name of it is, but it's this weird, strange, specific drug. It's not like it's crystal meth or methamphetamine. It's this certain drug that he just so happened to be caught with on
there was a lot of it too,
and it was pounds of it. You know, well, he ain't got nothing to do with nothing that, you know, he's just some guy, you know, wanting to get some speed, you know.
So does this end when Assad's out of power?
No.
How far do they take it? Is the goal Assad or is the goal Putin?
No, the goal is Nigeria. I mean, I've talked about this with a bunch of people, but it's going to go as far as Nigeria. They're the number one oil producers in Africa. They don't have a Rothschild bank in their country. And just so happens, an allegiance, Boko Haram just so happens to be allegiant to ISIS.
It's funny you said that, because like just for the show, I was reading that Claire, one of the other ladies from the anti-media had posted about the fact that 900 of the girls that have been kidnapped from Boko Haram had just been saved by a coalition, including Nigerian troops. But I saw a picture that of the 200 girls, some odd girls had been missing, kidnapped, I guess, in the last 2 years. that they actually had a big ISIS flag up in the back of there. And of course, it doesn't mean they're ISIS. Anybody can say they're ISIS with
right.
a flag online. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm not surprised to know that a lot of that stuff is going on.
Well, the back and forth stories, Boko Haram's part ISIS, one week he is, one week he isn't.
Right.
And, you know, that goes back.
Well, it's Al-Qaeda, too. You know, one minute they're lumped in together, the next minute they're...
Regardless, there is a what should raise eyebrows is there just so happens to be a terrorist group in Nigeria that was founded around the same time as the Islamic State in 2002, just so happens to be around the same time that Boko Haram was founded in 2002 in a country that doesn't have a Rothschild bank and is the number one oil producer of that continent. I mean, it's got to raise some eyebrows somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And obviously, you know, we all know Iran, the target's on them as well.
It's
a proxy war, of course.
That's of course what it is. But
well, we have a new president coming in, and most of the ones that are on the chopping block right now have expressed interest in. Yeah, we've got Iran in a heartbeat. Why not?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why we keep claiming that we're building missile defense systems around Russia. That's for Iran, which Putin actually was rightly called out and said, "Hey, you know, why are you continuing to put these missile defense systems up? If not for Russia, and you claim it's for Iran, you know, you just signed a huge Iranian arms deal. Why are you still putting these missile defense systems up?" So, you know, you asked the question a minute ago if it's about Putin or Assad, and I think it's just about America.
In the short term, it's clearly about Assad. But.
Right, but I don't think Assad's going anywhere. They've got Russia's backing, and as long as Russia's going to...
And this is what I'm saying. I think that Nigeria is the backup plan. We already have boots on the ground in Cameroon, which nobody is talking about.
It was Cameroon troops, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But and I'm telling you, if this shit in Syria falls under, that's the backup plan. That's going to be the little country we go in and destabilize.
Oh, they're already over there in Yemen. You know, Yemen and then AFRICOM over in Africa are doing what they can to deal with that whole mess, as crazy as it is.
Yeah, and the Yemen thing, I mean, geez, they've been going at it hard since March.
Like, yeah, and Saudi Arabia's been just blowing up stuff left and right.
Yeah, I mean, they have
collateral damage and blowback, breeding left and right.
Oh, yeah, and they just got, what was it, earlier this week, the $1.3 billion arms deal with us to keep funding because they say they're running short on arms.
Right.
Well, because they keep using them.
Yeah, they've been using them.
Yeah.
They've been very liberal in their use.
Oh, very.
Is it the Saudi Arabian government needs any money?
That
is. As if they don't have enough, if the king himself and all their various levels of government structure is if they don't have enough money and oil, and which, of course, they're losing a lot of money there with the oil markets crashing. With ISIS and Turkey doing their best to undercut oil production.
Yeah, if you bought gas lately. The gas is very cheap now. It's been $1.69 a gallon.
Wow. Wonder how long this is going to last.
Well, then they were artificially lowering the price, too, when they were screwing with Russia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia really was.
Yeah.
But now, it looks like Turkey is probably benefiting more of that than maybe even Saudi Arabia. Because Saudi Arabia is bracing for, you know, they're losing money, I know, for the short term. But people are, you know, there's an argument to be made, I say people, but there's an argument made by various sides that maybe Saudi Arabia is doing that to stop the funding of oil production here in the U.S. You know, every time the dollar, the oil goes up, at some point people get pissed and start crying for more oil here. And every time it does, as soon as it starts to peak, people get really upset. What do we see? We see prices come right
back
down.
It seems like it wasn't too terribly long ago. I may have caught a piece, I believe it was on NPR, basically stating something to the effect that the oil industry would just absolutely collapse if the price remained under $2 a gallon for too terribly long. And we've been under $2 a gallon for a minute and a half now. And actually we've heard that gas may be as cheap as $1.50 a gallon in this region.
Well, their conference there with Point John, I remember when $50 a barrel seemed ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Over 40 and even $20 a barrel.
Wow.
Through on the black market with
buy, buy, buy.
So, and here's the thing, too, about ISIS is they're, you know, they're selling whatever ridiculous amount of oil that they're selling from these illegal fields that the U.S., you know, refuses to attack because they love the environment so much. Okay, other than Turkey, who, you know, admits nothing, who's supposedly buying all this oil?
From my understanding, it's other countries buying it from Turkey. Turkey is exporting a lot of their oil.
So they're funneling all the ISIS oil through Turkey.
Everybody knows that they're getting it from ISIS, and everybody's buying from Turkey who's getting it from ISIS. And they know that. So
Turkey's the middleman.
At the end of the day, we're getting it from ISIS.
Come forth with, you know, whatever evidence, I believe video evidence of them actually physically driving their truck.
Yeah,
they described it. And they actually had another press conference where they showed after Turkey's President Erdogan, however you pronounce his name, claimed that he would step down and shown proof. Now that Russia has shown, quote-unquote, proof, Turkey says that they can't believe Russia would even dare to bring those accusations. that's clear. She thought that if anything would come about this from Turkey's president claiming to step down. And of course, no, it wasn't. It was just more rhetoric.
And stuff. Oh, of course. And this is, what, 2 weeks after they shoot down the plane?
Oh, right. And Russia, as soon as Russia's called, and told the world, hey, we know Turkey is doing this, and Turkey says, hey, let's see the proof, Russia responded immediately, almost, and showed, and they actually showed detailed maps of where this stuff's going, and satellite photos of this stuff taking place. And yet, you're still not hearing much in the mainstream media. Because as soon as we heard, the same day, if I'm not mistaken, the same day that Turkey come forward with that information, then a day or two, the shootings happened. And suddenly national politics, kind of rightfully so, maybe, overshadowed the global politics, despite which one might have further implications.
Sure. And I still, call me crazy here, but I'm not saying that these aren't completely unrelated from each other. I don't believe that they necessarily are. The shooting and everything that's going on over there.
No, possibly not. I would not be surprised one bit if this guy would not say that, as I've heard from other people, they've been radicalized based on what the U.S. is doing in the Middle East.
Because if nothing else, let's say that they go ahead and say this is work-related violence. This is still going to be in the back of people's minds. This is going to be ammunition for a Republican candidate. For when they take office, they can say, remember those Muslims back then? This is what Obama didn't tell you.
Build a wall. Build a wall.
And that's what, the hate and the fear. And they, drag us into more war.
It's the same, but political party, it's going to be the same thing. What we got now, it's going to be the same thing that we have 8 years from now.
Area code 716, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Yeah, my name's Sean, and I'm calling from Buffalo, New York.
Sean, how's it going tonight?
It's going really well, guys. It's real quick, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been listening to you guys for, about 6 months, but I've also been checking out the website, and it just hit me recently that it was one and the same, and I don't know how I didn't make that connection. But so I guess I just wanted to thank you guys for what you're doing, first and foremost.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. But furthermore, okay. So as soon as that shooting happened yesterday, I looked to see if you guys were on because I wanted to call in. I've never called in any show like this, but I immediately thought the correlation, or at least the release of the information, like you just said, with Russia and Turkey, and then this going on, like you didn't hear a single bit about it at all. Like, not like you normally do as much, but just completely smothered, gone.
Yeah, this completely took over, everything on all angles, San Bernardino. And I think the longer they wait to release the information as well, the more they can get all that other stuff in the back of everybody's minds.
Do you guys think, since I listen to you all the time, these things, the pattern's like not changing. You know what I mean? Like just in the way that it's always hyper-focused coverage, like everyone's always out there and wall-to-wall. But, I mean, it seems to me more and more people are waking up to all of this. And forgive me for being, like, so scatterbrained about this.
No, you're good, man. You're good.
But I'm sure you guys know how it is. Like, when I mention this to coworkers and some people I know, they're looking at me like I'm fucking crazy. Even when you show them proof, the cognitive dissonance is just too much. You know,
there's so much, too, that people still, I think they hold on to certain things, even though I think they don't want to admit certain stuff out loud. And I think that's why alternative media, especially on the internet, is doing so well now, because I really don't believe the trust for the mainstream is there.
No, not at all. That's kind of a good time for us to for all of us to care, to jump on this and remind people you're doing right, Sean. Hey, thanks for calling in, man. I remember my first call, and man, I know what it's like trying to talk through the radio and express what you're trying to say when there's so much stuff to hit and to cover on. But national politics is going to do what national politics is going to do, and the media is going to do what they're going to do. You know, they're going to copy. They're going to get the. They're going to follow the main. They're not going to step out of bottom line. They've got. They've got people that are they're buyers. They've got people that are watching.
They're not true watchdog journalists.
They are market.
They are market.
And Michael Hastings, watchdog journalists.
That's
how
it.
How many people would really?
Not in this country.
A lot of people want to go. They want to hear. They don't want to have their day ruined by the fact that hey. You know, your government and your tax dollars are supporting terrorists.
Oh, people don't want to admit it to themselves at all.
But sometimes, you know, planting seeds is a long thing. It's a long-term deal. You don't win hearts and minds overnight.
I was trying to explain to a close relative of mine just last night that you know, they don't realize that the government doesn't, I mean, forgive me for saying this, but the government doesn't give a shit about us. We are collateral. But, you know, they have grown up in an environment where they believe that the government really does care, that they love us, you know what I mean? But they don't. You know, they don't give a shit. We're collateral.
We're all just human beings, though, and that's the thing, and it's human nature, and, you know, it's selfish, greedy human beings that are, you know, they're looking out for their self-interest.
And that's what our modern government is. They don't exist for the people. They exist for self-interest.
So that's modern government, but that's government through
that's,
time.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
It's another group of people. It's another club.
That's it.
And we're not in it.
Yeah. Like George Carlin says. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, you'd asked him, you'd sent me the link earlier about the story from the Pentagon spending $150 million on luxury villas.
Yeah, of course. Look,
employees
in
Afghanistan.
Yeah, that houses, what, like 5 to 10 people or something.
Well, if they're going to build a $50 million embassy in Iraq.
Or better yet, we were talking about this the last show, the $600 million that it would take to take the 100 prisoners in Guantanamo Bay and relocate them in a new facility here in the United States. $600 million to house 100 prisoners.
Not
and
in my backyard.
That's just a start.
Not in my backyard.
Yeah, that's how.
Build a wall.
That's, you know, that's what's resonating through this country right now. Like, I didn't really believe it until this week that Trump could become president.
I think he's probably
not going to lie, but there's a lot of people talking, and I thought there's no way in hell, but it is growing.
You know, all of that corporate money thrown away on Rubio. Oh man,
I have believed for so long. That Rubio, it's just Rubio. That's it.
Man, my worst is he's replacing right now. I was hoping for Jeb Bush in there.
Yeah, at the very, very, very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, because at least we know what we're getting with Jeb Bush, you know.
But
Trump, oh man.
The corporate media is starting to push him pretty heavily.
But, you know, what people forget is how many of the working class, middle class people
that support
him are going to actually get out and vote on November 4th.
Because they can remember a slave. They can't remember all these other crazy facts and figures, but they can remember, build a wall, build a wall.
They're
going to
be
chanting it as they walk up to the wall.
Like,
we thought Obama
would not be reelected a second time. Yeah. And look how many people did not actually show up.
Voter apathy put Obama in office on the first
time. Make America great again.
I think it could put Trump in office. Because I think these people, like, they're foaming at the mouth.
Terrifying.
They're going to go vote because they're foaming at the mouth for something.
Terrifying.
It's funny. So many people have an opinion on politics, and I've met a lot of people, but when you talk to many people and ask them if they're a registered voter, how many of them have actually filled out a voter ID card, they make them tell you everything they know about every politician. You ask them.
The only reason, though, okay, for the reasons that I believe Rubio's going to be the president, because, you know, whatever, the votes are this, the votes are that, here's the difference with Trump. Trump has the money. That's, to me, it's not like we're talking about some candidate that people like and he's popular. We're talking money.
Do you think the Electoral College would vote for him? Or is it, can we see someone with popularity?
They're going to have to. There'll be a riot if they don't.
Yeah, it's
because Trump supporters would riot.
I will say there is this kind of strange neo-fascism that has sprouted up in this country since Trump has announced his candidacy.
Oh, it's been going on way longer.
But no, it's hardcore. Right?
Christopher Cantwell.
It is hardcore.
Good grief. What's that about?
I didn't want to miss anything because I didn't know how you guys felt. But I knew that has been like, I've watched it with some interest. And I'm still not.
I thought it was a joke.
I think it still is, dude. It's got to be. If anything, I mean, if it is, I saw something posted earlier, a video, and I'm still.
Whatever.
But that's what Trump does to people.
Yeah,
he's turned some hardcore, and it makes you really question hardcore. But you never know people's political leanings. But who else has a chance? So people fall, and when people find themselves in that, I'm only going to vote for somebody who has a chance of winning. That's where we all get screwed.
If you're voting for the most entertaining, worst person as a candidate, of course. Who wouldn't vote for him? But we're talking about leader of the country. We're not talking about the most entertaining, we're going to get the most laughs, or, you know, we're just going to bury our head or whatever it is. This is real life. This is a crazy lunatic that is talking about databases and walls. What is this?
I've got a confession. I listened to his interview with Alex Jones last night while I was.
Oh, you!
I listened to part of it.
I listened to watch it. I was cleaning
up
the house.
He was on InfoWars. He was on Alex Jones.
I'll be honest with you. It was an intro. Did you watch it yet?
I didn't. Doug actually sent me a link, and I haven't got a chance to check it out of it.
He was on. Trump
was. And dude, Alex was. Alex was the butt.
Man, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny how many people have not heard Trump say.
For those of you who do not know, Donald Trump was on InfoWars with Alex Jones yesterday. Two people you never thought would be speaking to each other publicly.
Peanut butter and bologna sandwiches.
Who knows? Maybe the anti-media might get lucky, and maybe he calls in one night here.
I will be honest with you. He did concede that the only reason he was on the Alex Jones show is because Roger Stone really wanted him to do the interview. And so that's why he was on here. And he is sure, and Alex floated the idea of hopefully Trump coming back again. And Trump told him, you know, give me a few years, you know. But I'll tell you this much, in a year you'll hear me and you'll say, I remember that time that I was on your show. So he didn't seem to be coming back to Alex's show. I think this was kind of more or less a favor to Roger Stone, and to throw a bone to some of the. I mean, he is the biggest.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder which bone that was.
Or who's giving the bone to who?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. I'll be honest with you, it was an interesting.
Trump's involved. Trust me, there's going
to
be.
To me, Alex was more interesting than Trump because Trump was kind of giving his same spiel.
Yeah. It was the same.
But Alex Jones being like, "Hey, what about this? This is like acting like it was all these great ideas coming out."
Oh, he was so. This completely sounded like he like as this was business, Alex. This was another infomercial for him. To me, is what it seemed like. He was doing what he could to get. And it's funny because it made me think that's what Campbell was doing. like, you know, Cantwell was wanting to get.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, I know that Cantwell doesn't envision Trump getting on the show, but he's fishing for those supporters that have now, that are on, either on the border. But I tell you this, if I had been an, if I heard Trump when I first started and got an interest in politics, I could have found myself buying into the same rhetoric. Because people that don't.
Maybe, but no. Think about what he says, though. That's the thing. It's like the most anti-Alex Jones message ever.
Oh, I agree. That's why I couldn't believe Alex was completely going the opposite way. And what got me is he came out and said, I talk to elites every day, and they tell me, you're the real deal.
Yeah!
You're the real deal. You're not a Clinton guy. You're not a Clinton hopper.
From this program, John McAfee is or Vermin Supreme is the real deal.
Vermin Supreme...
He's a spokesman.
I'm going with McAfee.
A better candidate yet.
I'm going with
McAfee. I haven't
McAfee.
Heard any better campaign promises yet, other than free ponies and the dental care. I mean, I could use some
destroy
of that.
ISIS.
John McAfee.
Yeah,
I like John McAfee, and that's who I'm going with. You get Supreme, I'll take McAfee. There are the two guests on this program.
Two words: time travel.
Donald Trump is still the most ridiculous candidate.
I don't talk about this no more. It's hurt my head and my heart.
But how many people can listen to, you know, people, we are, it's not a surprise, you people speak and talk in sound bites. Because I can go a daily here, there's a couple guys, I had a few persons. We all were surrounded by people at work, and so unfortunately that's who we spend most of our time around with. But you can hear people say, I hear them say, and I even have this with a couple of family members, and one or two in particular, that I can hear them. When I hear them speak, I can hear them repeat exactly what I heard, either on Fox News or on some other media broadcast. And so there's people that don't have enough time to get in. How many people could explain to you what Trump actually believes other than what they've heard him say?
Here's the thing, too. Trump is using people's distrust of corporate media right now to his advantage through psychologically here.
And that's why they...
Because when they hear him say something, they're telling themselves that's out of context. They're trying to ruin that man.
And a lot of times they are.
I will say the guy, he...
And
it, he
that's is. Why all the terrible stuff they say, it doesn't faze the voters. They just get more...
Well,
more.
And look, to be fair, I want to play devil's advocate for a moment. I do have to applaud Alex Jones for this one thing. At least he did bring Trump to the and kind of the same audience that we, you know, we try to, you know, cater to as well.
People everybody's already
to
here
for themselves away from all of the corporate.
I'd have Trump on here, but I wouldn't be saying the stuff Alex Jones was saying to him either.
It was supposed to be a very different. Very
I will
different
say
idea.
This about Trump. I mean, the
probably
guy,
not sure.
It's not a, right. It's not about him going on the show. It's the way it was handled.
Yeah,
Trump is a freaking nutcase. The guy's not stupid. Let's go ahead and get that off the table.
Well, he's speaking to the middle, the lowest common denominator.
He knows it, I think.
And, I'm
right.
just,
and that's what you have. That's what the media is doing. They're just speaking from a different set of
and
Bill,
Trump,
Bill Clinton was good at it.
Right. And I'm not surprised. And it, Bill Clinton, no surprise that's somebody he holds dearly, one time anyways, in his social dealings. That's why I'm so surprised to hear Alex come out, and I read a clip that somebody said, Alex just said, I hate to keep barking on Alex, but it's more about how somebody flips from an ideology that failed so purely and drinks the Kool-Aid from the opposite side now that for authoritarian Trump versus authoritarian Obama. But it just amazes me that somebody could flip so easily and forget what the rest of their show is going
to
be like.
Yeah, area code 314, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
I'm calling from St. Louis.
What's on your mind tonight?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, what would you like to talk about? Yeah, beautiful place.
Let's talk about Obama and the Syrian refugees.
Spill it.
Yeah, what's your take on the entire situation?
I think it's bullshit.
And what has led you to this conclusion?
Well, I mean, we're risking letting possible, you know, terroristic threats into the country, you know, over, you know, our own welfare is being...
Why are these people trying to come into this country?
Because they're in hell, you know. Why are we so worried about it? We have our own issues, you know.
But why do you think they're leaving? Like, what's the reason they're leaving?
Because, I mean, they're under attack, you know. It's
who's attacking them?
ISIS.
And how did ISIS come into existence again?
Is ISIS the only people? Are they conducting airstrikes over these people?
No, it's the Syrian civil war. You know, there's no peace there.
Right, but who's conducting airstrikes and blowing up some of these places?
The United States is involved. Several countries are involved.
That's right. So if it wasn't for the war going on over there and with ISIS, the fact that they were armed inadvertently or advertently, you know, there's evidence to suggest both, but was funded by the Western powers. The reason that the refugees are leaving is because of U.S. foreign policy. And you're right. You know, if you don't want some sort of danger or something in your country, whatever, you know, the situation is, if that's how you see it, then you should be saying, hey, why is our country doing this and that? They should bring the troops home, as opposed to just say, no, we're going to, you know, we can't have you in our country, this and that. Look at the problem. Try to fix the actual problem, which is our U.S. foreign policy, not people trying to get away from being bombed.
Because, again, if we're not helping, drop bombs on these people, they won't want to leave their home and they'll actually stick around.
That's what a refugee is.
And then we won't need to take any more refugees in.
We've had hundreds of thousands of refugees. The last time I saw, some 750,000 refugees have been taken in the last few short years. And we've not seen a terrorist attack from a foreign national here.
That's it.
In a long time. Most of these terrorist attacks are
being... you know, we have the, what do they call, the Patriot Act and all that crap.
But the federal government, and it's not just, you know, as you brought up just a minute ago, caller, that it's not just the U.S., it's other countries too.
Sure.
That are bombing. But that's what it goes to. If we keep doing this, we're going to get more and more refugees, and we're going to be having the same discussion whether or not, no matter what side you fall on.
That's what we're talking about. I just don't understand why people don't want to deal with the root of the problems here. You know, everybody just wants these short, build a wall. Let's just build a wall.
Well, build a wall.
That's
build
it.
Build a wall.
Nobody remembers Reagan's promise about the wall. We can say we're going to build a wall.
How about Roger Waters for that matter? Come on, man.
What's so weird is I feel like Trump and Reagan at different time periods are tapping into the same disenfranchised middle American voter.
Trump quoted Reagan last night. He said that his campaign speech was just two words off from "Make America Great Again." It was "Make America Great," I think. But he's modeling it. Yes, Roger Stone was a big player in Reagan's candidacy too. So
I've got to ask though: the only other legitimate candidate that might actually be able to go head to head with him, of course, is the Democratic Party's Bernie Sanders.
They're pushing Hillary pretty hard right now.
Well, and that's where the corporate money's been the whole time. And Bernie has snuck up out of nowhere, just like Ben Carson and
if Sanders is the Ron Paul of the Democratic Party, he don't stand a snowball chance.
Bernie Sanders still fades away though at some point.
He's going to vote for Hillary.
Yeah. He's already supported her indirectly during the freaking debates. Don't worry about that.
But I tell you what, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. We will be back next week for Kevin and Shannon. This is SM Gibson, Anti-Media Radio, out.
Good night.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.